This is Monitor 68, a collection of all kinds of oddly assorted items of interest. Here, for example, is Henry Mancini, accompanied by a man, a horse, and a gun. For 10 days and 20 hours, three bearded men named Shirah, Isley, and Cunningham looped around the world in Apollo 7. In this week's Life magazine, they write their memories of that historic flight. Isley looks straight down from 120 miles up. Cunningham marvels at 16 sunrises and sunsets a day. And Wally Shirah tells Life readers his feelings now that he's retiring as a flying astronaut. Three personal footnotes in Life by three men who cleared the way for a flight to the moon at Christmas time. For those of us earthbound in this Christmas season, Life offers a close-up of a man who is probably responsible for more stuffed mailboxes than any other person, Joyce Hall of Hallmark Cards. He says he knows of 3,000 occasions, including Christmas, when you ought to care enough to send a card. Three astronauts and a greeting card king in this week's Life magazine, working to bring you a world of information, insight, and ideas.
Don't move, just leave your dial out. Here's Monitor. Lean back and stay a while now. Here's Monitor.
Hello, this is Brad Crandall, your host for Monitor 68. In this half hour, we will meet a man who's doing something about the national problem of crime and law enforcement, although he's a private citizen. First, here's Michelle Lee with a song about what gets a guest invited back, knowing when to leave.
Oh, job of going is good. Knowing when to leave may be the smartest thing that anyone can learn.
Yeah. the old bluff. Yeah, he's a chip.
It's tomorrow night on the Hallmark Hall of Fame, with Burl Ives singing and dancing as Geppetto.
He's got to be a cutting from my family tree.
Wonderful world, hello, everyone out.
And he's joined by exciting Peter Noon, famous as Herman of Herman's Hermits in the title role.
Head over heels for you, like...
Join them both for lots of music, lots of fun, with seven sparkling new songs.
Come, join the beautiful people and dance the night away.
Be like the beautiful people and learn.
Come join the brightest family show of the year, Pinocchio, on the Hallmark Hall of Fame, tomorrow night in color on the NBC television network.
A report on the significance of William D. Eckert's exit as commissioner of baseball, next up on Monitor Sports, brought to you by AT&T, the people who run your anything, anytime, anywhere network.
Madame Gabriella Tucci, Metropolitan Opera star.
You have a telephone everywhere, even in small place. It is a most unusual, you know. And I love your, how you call it, push button? Your touchstone telephone. They are so delightful, so musical. I am very affectionate to the telephone.
We too have affection for our telephones, Madame Tucci. But it's our telephone network that gives us the most extraordinary communication system in the world. It can take your call and instantly switch it to any of 102 million other telephone devices. On our nationwide network, anything goes. People talk, computer talk, pictures and drawings, anything. Instantly, anytime, anywhere.
You're anywhere, anything, anytime network. AT&T.
Baseball is looking for a new commissioner today after General William Eckert was removed from office. What does it all mean? Well, for starters, that the young Lions, led by Gerald Hofberger of the Baltimore Orioles, have taken power from Walter O'Malley of the Los Angeles Dodgers. For more on the story, here's New York Daily News sports columnist Dick Young on Monitor's open line from San Francisco with Bill McCord.
Well, Dick Young, what about Walter O'Malley? Is there any connection between the announcement that he'll quit after next season and Eckert's firing?
I don't think there is any connection, but I think that it is indicative of what is happening. I think that Walter O'Malley has lost his great power in baseball and is quite aware of it, and is going to step down anyway. I don't think that that he likes the idea. I think he kind of relished playing the man behind the scenes, as he has for so many years. But I think he realizes that it's not going to be that way anymore. And whether he stepped down or not, I think he would be more or less pushed into the background.
Well, Dick Young, which one individual in baseball, in your opinion, is likely to emerge as strong as O'Malley was in the past decade?
Yeah, Hofberger looks like the man right now, but it's difficult to say. He more or less ran the meeting yesterday at which Eckert was shot down. Hofberger is a strong, vibrant type of man, but I'm not quite sure that one man will have as much influence in the coming period of time as O'Malley has had in the past period of time. I think it would be more a clique as it has been in this takeover.
Well, Dick, do you think that the threatened player strike had anything to do with General Eckert's exit from baseball?
I think that was part of it. It was a general lack of leadership. Actually, I think that the disillusionment really set in early this year when, within a period of 2 months, Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy were assassinated in baseball, and there's moments of great need for leadership where somebody had to make a decision. Shall we play today? Shall we not play today? What is baseball position? There was no governing hand from above. Everybody, every team made its own decision. Some played on Saturday, some played on Sunday. Baseball came into some terrible criticism on the basis of that, and I think that's when it was really brought home to the Lords of Baseball that they needed some leadership at the top.
Dick Young, who's the new commissioner of baseball likely to be?
There is Mike Burke, who I'm sure would like to have it. There's Bob Cannon, who was the player representative, who would like to have it. You have young baseball executives like Bing Devine and Buzzy Bavese and Chuck Feeney, real good, intelligent men who I'm sure most of whom would do a real fine job. Well, these guys are liable to tell the owners what to do, and the owners don't want to be told what to do, so I have no faith in the owners that they will pick a man that they should pick.
All right, thank you very much, Dick.
All right, Bill.
That's Dick Young, sports columnist for the New York Daily News. This is Bill McCord for Monitor Sports.
And now, a word about State Farm.
Hi, I'm Phil Foster. The other night, an old friend comes up to me in the street and says, "Hey, Phil, is it really true that State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's biggest homeowners insurer, has such low rates that you have plenty of money left over every month?" "Right," I says. "Good," he says. "Then give me that $5 you owe me."
For your home, your car, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Checking the hourglass, the time is now 17 minutes after the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
You know, there's an exciting evening on the town waiting for you at the fabulous New York Hilton. Start with a relaxing beverage on the International Promenade. Stop in at the Roman Pub, the smart, sophisticated cafe where the beautiful people play. The Roman Pub is Murals of Rome by René Boucher. Candlelight, music for dancing and romancing by the Joan St. James Trio from 9:30 p.m. on. And there are many togged waitresses to keep your glass filled or bring you the famous pub club steak or other gourmet delights. Theater bound, the Roman Pub will get you there before the curtain goes up. Prefer the atmosphere of old New Orleans? Well, there's the old Bourbon Steakhouse where you can have a delicious roast beef dinner for only $6.75, or a prime steak or other gourmet delights. Then have a good night beverage in the exotic Kismet Lounge. Plan to have an exciting evening in town real soon at the New York Hilton, 53rd Street and 6th Avenue. How about tonight? For reservations, call 212-JU6-7000. That's area code 212-JU6-7000.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
This is Monitor, Brad Crandall here with music by Glenn Yarborough. That's the way it's got to be.
Even though you say that all the good times are gone, though you say this rain will keep raining on, I walk along with my head held high. I got a song and I'll sing it to the sky. I may be wrong, but I'll live until I die. That's the way it's gonna be. Wait and see. Even though you say the devil knocks at my door, though you say my ship cannot reach the shore, I got a will and a thousand ways. I got a dream of a thousand better days. I got a smile that just stays and stays. That's the way it's gonna be. Wait and see. Even though you say the tides are all running low, though you say there's nowhere else we can go, detour is waiting for me round the bend. I won't stay down on the count of ten. Said it before and I'll say it again. That's the way it's gonna be. Wait and see.
In my math class, I could figure to the fraction, but with the boys, I just didn't add up right. After class, I was the fella's first subtraction. Until I summed things up and switched to ultra bright. Ultra bright entered my life. Wow! Ultra bright changed my whole life. Now, my days have been totaling up to 2 and 3 a night. The compliments keep multiplying up and out of sight. Loneliness is zero. Believe me, it's for real. Ultra bright gives your mom sex appeal.
Ultra Bright toothpaste, the kickiest taste, the freshest breath, the brightest teeth. That's sex appeal.
Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
After Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
This week, a dramatic story highlighted the problem of crime in America today. A business executive named H. Bruce Palmer announced the formation of a $25 million campaign to mobilize 10 million Americans in a coordinated attack on crime, disorder, violence, and delinquency. Mr. Palmer's reasons for involving himself in the fight for law and order are grim and compelling ones, and we'll ask him to explain them to us. Mr. Palmer, welcome to Monitor.
Thank you very much. A year ago, my wife was brutally murdered in our home in New Jersey. I had an immediate compulsion and immediate resolve that I was going to do something about this very pressing problem, a problem becoming greater, now the number one problem of our society. And during the last year, I have surrounded myself with probably 150 outstanding individuals, criminologists, people in the professional field who could guide me in an effort to channel the efforts that I must expend on this particular problem.
Now, a number of prominent Americans have pledged their help on the campaign. Would you mind naming some of them?
Well, there's one very distinguished American who appeared on Dragnet this week, Thursday night at 9:30. The last 5 minutes was devoted to a call for mobilization. And asking top people in communications, they said one man in America who's loved by everybody is Bob Hope. Bob Hope made the call. He has agreed to be the honorary chairman of this mobilization effort.
Mm-hmm.
With him and introducing him was Milton Eisenhower, presently the chairman of the Presidential Commission on Violence, a man who is very much concerned that when recommendations are made, there is no citizen backing to see that these things are carried out. So these are two distinguished Americans who have been involved with me.
Now, you've announced your financial goal is $25 million, which is a pretty sizable amount of money, sir. How do you propose to raise this?
Well, in the first place, I think we'll be astounded with the outpouring of monies from the public itself.
Mm-hmm.
The American citizen today is frightened, he's frustrated, he's angered. He wants to do something about crime. He doesn't know what to do. I would guess that the citizens themselves will probably meet half that goal.
Mm-hmm. What about the rest?
The other, the corporations of America are feeling the impact of costs, security costs, in trying to secure the properties that they own, the lives of the people who are their employees, and these are reaching gigantic amounts. One large corporation in the country today is expending over $60 million for security alone.
Go north or south, go east or west, just get in your car.
Monitor on NBC, and I'm your host, Brad Crandall. Just ahead, Monitor's College Poll will examine the reaction among American students to the way Selective Service affects them. First, let's call on Al Caiola for a bit of music, namely, High Chaparral.
Thank you.
winner than how Lincoln Mercury leads the way. We've got an all-new Montego this year. Nothing comes near. Stand up and cheer a winner.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way for 1969 with the beautiful new Mercury Montego, the winning intermediate from the makers of the Lincoln Continental. Montego.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way!
Montego, with the look that makes an automobile truly beautiful. See all the winning new Mercury Montegos at your Lincoln Mercury dealers.
Montego is here, drive a winner this year. Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Well, that takes care of your transportation problems. Now, let's turn our attention to the social amenities.
Don't forget your FTD florist.
My FTD florist?
Reserve Christmas flowers now. He'll deliver them on time.
With a new administration coming to Washington, there's been some speculation about changing the draft laws. Monitor's college poll, conducted in cooperation with the Greenwich College Research Center, checked on how students feel about the draft today. Here with some of the answers is Bill Ryan.
The headlines may be about student disorders and civil rights on campus, but the number one topic in college dorms today remains the Vietnam War and the draft. The male college student knows the end of college means an almost automatic draft call. That call also probably means service in Vietnam. Still, college students' views on Vietnam and the draft are more objective than might be imagined. 80% of the students polled feel we should not pull out of Vietnam, although more than half feel we made a mistake going there in the first place. 75% of the students interviewed by college poll were willing to accept armed forces service while young. Only 4 out of 100 spoke of burning draft cards, leaving the country, or other courses followed by those who would seek to protest the draft or avoid it. 60% of the students polled had no quarrels with the way draft boards selected their quotas and treated draftees. Most students also felt it was fair for them to be subject to the draft if they dropped out of school. The big concern on campus is the possible interruption of education by the draft. The first change the students want is to amend the draft law so that qualified students could continue their educations. Students who do not plan to go on to graduate school feel that those who do should be able to. A Harvard senior says, "This is going to hurt the country. In Russia, they pay students to go to college and graduate school. Here, we throw them into the draft." And most students feel that military service will end their chances for higher education. A senior at Miami University summed it up, "I'd be too old." To most students, the Vietnam engagement is a most unpopular war, but that has not affected the willingness of the vast majority of the college population to fulfill its military responsibility. This is Bill Ryan, NBC News for Monitor.
Now a Monitor tip for the household handyman. Save those old toothbrushes for a variety of tasks around the house. They're good for cleaning the type on the typewriter, for applying paint and varnish remover to carved surfaces when you refinish furniture, and the lady of the house will find them a help in applying silver polish to ornate patterns on tableware. And here's a tip for the lady of the house. Are those little repair jobs piling up because the king of the ranch is too busy and he doesn't want you using his tools? Then stop in wherever tools are sold and buy a Vice Grip locking wrench for your very own. That's Vice Grip. The tool that looks like a pliers with a bolt in its right leg. It's a wrench, wire cutter, nail puller, vise, clamp. It locks on tight, yet releases with the flick of a finger. Does even more jobs than the old-fashioned hairpin. Vice Grip Junior, just one of 7 models, is perfect for you. Easy to use, small, only 5 inches long, and lightweight, just 5 ounces. An entire toolkit in just 1 tool, and it costs less than $3. Buy the one that has Vice Grip stamped right on the tool. And do it yourself. Chances are you can get the job done in time to meet the girls on the first tee. Hey, just before the day gets any older, we want to salute our NBC affiliate in Aberdeen, Mississippi, with call letters WMPA. The mayor of Aberdeen has proclaimed the period of December 1st to 7th as NBC Week, with photographs of NBC personalities and other display material being exhibited in downtown store windows and other strategic locations. Our sincere congratulations to WMPA. It's nice to have them aboard as a member of the NBC family. Brad Crandall here. You're on the Monitor. Be careful.
Hey, way down upon that dirty river, not so very far away. Sure ain't no place that's fit for people. Why must shouldn't be this way.
Stop pollution. Write Clean Water, Washington, D.C.
Astro Gilberto.
Oh, don't be afraid.
The Mamas and Papas. Frank Sinatra.
So I'm down, and so I'm out.
And WNBC's own chairman of the board, Big Wilson, Jim Gerhart, Charlie Brown, and yours truly, Jack Hayes, with more of the hip sound for swingers. All day, every day, right here on WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
Brad Crandall here with a Monitor special report. Down through the ages, men who've done great deeds for the first time have done so with a curiosity, a desire to know that has outweighed their fear of the unknown. This was true of Christopher Columbus as he sailed for the New World, of Louis Pasteur as he exposed himself to dangerous microorganisms that existed only in theory, and in today's world, by our astronauts who will attempt to orbit the moon in Apollo 8. These gallant men held a conference, a press conference, earlier today, and here with that story is NBC Newsman Jay Barbary.
2 weeks from this moment, if space engineers have their way, the Apollo 8 astronauts will be en route to the moon for what some call this century's greatest adventure. In a news conference today, astronauts Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders were asked what most they were looking forward to seeing on the lunar surface. Astronaut Anders spoke for the crew.
Well, you know, the argument has raged for years over whether the holes in the moon are meteoritic impact or volcanic. And certainly there's a lot of evidence for both. Some of the craters are obviously one or the other, but there are a lot of in-between. And as soon as you become convinced that one particular crater is a meteor impact, why, some guy can show some evidence where it might be a volcano. And it's, the argument goes back and forth. And I think it'll be very interesting get an idea of the history of the lunar surface.
Astronaut William Anders. The question about the risk involved in the 240,000-mile trip dominated the conference, and command pilot Frank Borman summed it up by comparing the flight to a combat tour in Vietnam. Then reporters wanted to know how they felt about flying to the moon at Christmas time. Astronauts Borman and Anders said,
being this time of the year will be a very appropriate time to try to generate among all the peoples of the world sort of the feeling that we have in this exploration of space, which we think is a good thing. Christmas is a good thing, and maybe this idea will catch on with others. I think we're all leaving here with the feeling that was very well expressed at the last press conference by a German correspondent, that when you're finally up at the moon looking back at the Earth, it's all these differences and nationalistic traits are going to pretty well blend, and you're going to get a concept that maybe this is really one world, and why the hell can't we learn to live together like decent people?
Apollo 8 command pilot Frank Borman. Jay Barbary, NBC News, reporting for Monitor.
Now, music by Judy Collins, a talented young lady who used to be known primarily as a folk singer, but has made a successful transition into the contemporary type of music. Here she is with Both Sides Now.
Bells and bells of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feathered canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way.
Christmas, tell her all the things she is with Chanel No. 5. Every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5.
Next up, Monitor's Sport of Speed featuring Chris Economaki, brought to you by Wynn Oil Company.
Cold. Stone cold. Slow, difficult starting can kill your car's battery. Cold. Stone cold. A rigid argument for Wynn's friction proofing. Wynn's friction proofing added to your oil smooths and seals metal surfaces. Wynn's friction proofing makes starting easier, protects frigid metal parts before cold, gummy engine oil even gets moving. No need to warm up the engine before you take off. Friction proofing makes moving parts move easier. Friction proofing gets cold cars going faster, and it keeps them going. Wynn's friction proofing, the hot cup of coffee for your car on a cold, wintry morning.
This is Chris Economaki. The longest, wildest, and most controversial championship racing season in history came to an end Sunday at Riverside, California. The favorite for the title, two-time champion Mario Andretti, again came out of Riverside a shocked, surprised, and disappointed individual as car problems allowed Bobby Unser to take second place behind winner Dan Gurney and his first national championship. Andretti used desperation tactics to stay in the race after his own car went out with engine trouble while in second place. He took over one of the Granatelli turbines, but crashed before two laps had gone by. Then he finished third as a relief driver for Lloyd Ruby and lost the title by 7 points, the closest margin in the 60-year history of championship racing. The race was historic in that it marked the final appearance of the Granatelli turbine cars, the cars that caused the quiet revolution, the cars that twice came within miles of winning the Indianapolis 500, and the cars that wound up controversial both on the racetrack and in the courts. So the race fans will never again see the racer's wedge or the hooshmobiles run again. Andretti managed a Monday morning smile, however, as he presented the Martini and Rossi Driver of the Year Award to Mark Donahue. Andretti was last year's winner of the trophy and $7,500 check and presented the cup to Donahue, a young grad of the SCCA amateur circuits who had a tremendous season this year. The Irishman from Media, Pennsylvania, won his second straight U.S. road racing championship. He dominated the Trans-American Sedan Series for Chevrolet, and for the second year running, was the best-placed American in the Canadian-American Challenge Cup Series. With the season over, it's awards time, and besides the Martini and Rossi presentation, the Triangle Station Sportsmanship Award for performance in the Can-Am Series has been won by John Cannon. This award is judged by the drivers themselves and carries a $1,000 prize. Designer, builder, engineer driver Jim Hall, still recovering from his Las Vegas crash, was the recipient of the Master Designer Award for the concept and execution of his Chaparral Group 7 car. This is Chris Economaki for Monitor Sports.
Love is jewelry, love is laughter cut with tears, love is spit mix, love is dead up to your ears, love is Christmas, love is watching late night shows, love is daisies, love is pies and dirty clothes. Lovers, don't worry, that heavy duty cold power, do it, do it. No matter how dirty, just talk a little cold power, do it, do it. Cold power, water shrinking for you. Cold power, germ grows too. Love is groovy, love is colors nice and clean with cold power.
Here's a message in behalf of the March Against Muscular Dystrophy. A child is like quicksilver, here, there, everywhere in a moment, unless he has muscular dystrophy. Then he moves very slowly. Toward the end of his short life, he can hardly move at all. His muscles have gradually been reduced to uselessness. And today, there is no way to prevent or cure this tragic disease. But scientists are moving toward a solution, and they need your help. When the Jerry Lewis volunteer comes to your door, give generously. Music now. Here's Billy Maxted, one of the solider piano men in the business, with Rembrandt Square. As you may know, they've been having another outbreak of disorders in the British Crown Colony of Hong Kong. In past weeks, posters have appeared that say, "Long live Chairman Mao," and nobody was too surprised. But in the past few days, some new posters have gone up, and they say, "Go home, Gregory Peck." It seems they're upset by a new movie called The Chairman being shot in Hong Kong, in which Peck plays a U.S. scientist who enters Red China to help a Chinese colleague escape from Mao's clutches. The whole thing got the British government so jittery that they seconded the motion, so Gregory Peck did leave. He didn't go home, though. He and the film company went to Taiwan to finish the shooting. For what else is new in the world, NBC News on the Hour is just ahead.
This is Angela Lansbury speaking, bringing you greetings of the holiday season from Boston, where I have the pleasure of appearing in the lavish new musical, Dear World. I can't tell you how excited I am to be coming back to Broadway in a challenging and rewarding new role, the Countess Aurelia in Dear World. Dear World begins previews in New York on December 18th, and I do hope that you will come to see it.
Dear World, starring Angela Lansbury, which is currently breaking all attendance records in Boston, begins preview performances at the Mark Hellinger Theater in New York on December 18th. The Boston critics have hailed Angela Lansbury's performance as jubilant and triumphant. Tickets are now on sale at the box office of the Hellinger Theater for Angela Lansbury in the lavish new musical, Dear World.
Brad Crandall has something to say, and he says it. Weeknights, 9 to midnight,
on WNBC Radio 66, New York.